Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bat Around. I'm your host, Paul Valley. He's Ryan Blake. Today is a beautiful Saturday morning, the day before St. Patrick's Day here in Baltimore. Going to be in the 60s today, and you know I'm loving it because now it feels like spring. Baseball is right around the corner, Ryan, as opening day is less than 2 weeks away. How are we feeling this morning, bud?
Feeling good, man. It feels like spring. It feels like baseball. I'm excited because I'm in a house that I can kind of call my own for the first time. And you know what I'm really looking forward to this afternoon, Paul, is the first lawn mow of the season. It's been warm all week. The grass is growing a little bit. I'm excited to get that mower kicked up again. It feels weird to say. I've never had this kind of excitement for cutting the grass before. But now that it's my lawn, there's something about it. So that's what I'm looking forward to this afternoon.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, we don't really have much of a lawn to mow. Our HOA pays for the lawns to get mowed, so we don't have to worry about that. But I do love the fact that my first baseball practice of the year is tomorrow. I've been getting some work. I mean, there's only so much work you can do by yourself because I have no friends. No, I have plenty of friends. It's just that, you know, I'm in my 40th year of life now, and I'm only 39, but it is my 40th year of life, and a lot of people that I play baseball with or people that I would normally play catch with, they don't have the time to do that anymore. And frankly, neither do I, really.
Well, if you need a throwing partner, you got my number.
All right, man. I'm always down to throw, man. I'm always down to throw. By the way, we need to send you the wedding invitation back. Laura got off work, so we're both going to be able to make it to your wedding. So there's awesome, the unofficial, man. RSVP for your wedding.
Perfect. Thank you.
On a Sunday, man. I think that's super cool that you're getting married on a Sunday. It's probably a lot cheaper, and it's going to be a beautiful Sunday in June. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It's 10% off, not doing it on a Saturday. So we figured, you know, we're going to check into the hotel either Thursday night or Friday morning, and then kind of have a weekend there, sit by the pool on Saturday, go golfing Sunday morning while she gets ready. And then you're invited to that as well, by the way. And you can reach out to the guys. We're going to, you know, whoever wants to come out and golf, I get a free round personally with the wedding package. So whoever wants to join is welcome to that morning if they'd like. I'll be sending out details for that. But figured kind of culminate the weekend with the wedding on Sunday night. Seems like a fun way to cap it all off. So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that weekend.
But dude, that's awesome because I'm playing in a golf outing. Like, we do golf weekend every year, the weekend after St. Patrick's Day, the weekend after Memorial Day every year. So I'll be warmed up. I'm definitely going to, if the wife allows it, I'm definitely going to come out and play with you that day.
Awesome, man. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, the timing of it. The Orioles announced that they're having their, what's it called, upper deck golf or something like that.
Oh, really?
That it's the 7th and the 8th. So we'll be at the hotel. I doubt I'm going to be able to make it to that, but I've been itching for something like that because I've seen a couple other teams do it. I know they had one at Citi Field. They've had one at Fenway Park where fans.
They did one out of San Diego too, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like a really, really cool event. Obviously, you know, I encourage everybody who is able to make it out to head out to Camden Yards, hit some golf balls. That'd be a really, really cool experience. I'm a little bummed personally that I won't be able to do it, but I'm getting married, so I can't complain.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, your weekend's going to be way better than that. Way better than that. And if you guys want to have a great weekend, head on over to Atman's Deli. If you're craving that classic New York deli experience, look no further than the new Atman's Deli in Baltimore's Harbor Point. Corned beef piled high, hand-rolled bagels, and something different, a bar. Atman's Harbor Point. Go to atmansdeli.com for daily specials. Ryan, let's jump right into it. The Orioles had their spring breakout game versus Pittsburgh. Wow. You know, we'll call
it as well be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. O's lose 3-1, recording just one hit, a bunt single by 2023 first round pick Enrique Bradfield. Jackson Holliday 0-2 with a strikeout against Paul Skeens. Started that count out 2-0 and then 3-1. Swung at ball 4 on a pitch that broke outside of the zone, but it was nasty. I think it was a changeup that he threw.
Dude, it was so mean. So mean of Paul Skeens to come out. He strikes out Bradfield on 3 pitches. Former teammates with the Team USA, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, throws 2 high fastballs to Holliday. Jackson gets ahead in the count. He swings at a changeup on 2-0. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a pretty swing. And then he missed with another fastball. So to fall behind 3-1, he's pumping 101, 102. And then he goes slider change up to strike out Holiday. And they were two, like, they were hard swings, but he wasn't close to the ball. And I mean, just Skeens is disgusting, man.
Yeah, he was absolutely filthy.
I'm so looking forward to seeing Holiday get his revenge, because you know it's going to happen at some point in the big leagues. Skeens and Holiday will face off again. And look, Holiday's 0 for 2 against Skeens at this point in the spring. There's going to be a lot more competitions between those two, I hope. You know, obviously with the new schedule and teams playing every other team each year now, I'm excited for it. Holiday, you know Holiday's going to get one.
Well, and you know that the Pittsburgh home opener is against the Orioles. Paul Skeens won't be there. We'll talk about that in a second. Holiday said after the game about Paul Skeens, I think he was probably throwing like 110. That's what it looked like. To which Bradfield tweeted two crying, laughing emojis in the statement, I felt that.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens, as advertised, he actually didn't face Samuel Basayo, but Samuel Basayo, he walked in his lone plate appearance as a DH, was replaced by a pinch runner Valdez, who immediately stole second and third base. Were you surprised that Basayo only got the one plate appearance? They took him out after he walked it in the second inning.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see that, you know, especially DHing, you'd think he'd have a longer leash in that game. But I understand, he was dealing with some soreness coming into camp. So they're, you know, slow rolling it with him a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's good to see him getting plate appearances at all.
Absolutely. Coby Mayo in the game, 0 for 2 with a K. Connor Norby 0 for 2, but put the bat on the ball both times. Bradfield again, 1 for 3 with a K. Orioles batters collected one hit in 7 innings. Struck out 11, was it 9 or 11 times? I think it was 11 times. They walked 4 times, but again, just the one hit, and that was the infield bunt single by Bradfield. Cade Povich, he got the start. He allowed 1 earned run, 2 hits, and 2 walks with four Ks and 3 innings pitched. Both hits and one of those walks came in the first inning. He had the bases loaded with nobody out, got out of it, surrendering just 1 run. Trace Bright, who was a third-round pick, he also struck out 4 and allowed – I'm sorry, Povich was a third-round pick. Trace Bright, I think, was a fifth-round pick. He struck out 4 and allowed 1 earned run in 3 innings pitch. Bright split his season between high A and double A in 2023, pitching to a 3.97 in the ERA in 26 games, 21 starts, covering 99 and two-thirds innings. I got to be honest, right? I don't know much about Trace Bright. Did you know who he was or anything about him before he came in?
Yeah, I know of him. I don't know too much about him personally, but what I do know is that you shouldn't sleep on these young Orioles pitchers. They have a lot of guys, a lot of depth in the organization. They don't have a lot of top-end starting pitching prospects, but they do have a lot of guys who can contribute. Trace Bright comes to mind. Ryan Long comes to mind, who was in the WBC last year. Guys who are slept on in terms of prospect rankings, but you know have that potential. And I think what the Orioles have shown us over these last few years is that their pitching development is worlds better than it used to be. And, you know, people like Grayson Rodriguez can attest to that with, you know, the way that the new regime came in, because Grayson had a year in the Duquette era. He was drafted by Dan Duquette. And he's talked in the past about, you know, how different it was when this new regime took over and, you know, kind of let these pitchers, you know, be themselves, but also, you know, work them to the best of their ability. And so, you know, they have a lot of guys who I think could make an impact down the road. Trace Bright's certainly one of them. He showed that the other night against Pittsburgh. And so I'm excited for the future. The one downer though, and I don't know if you put this in the notes later on, I apologize, but it was announced yesterday that Gene Pinto had Tommy John surgery.
And, it's not in the notes. I forgot about that, but yeah.
No worries. Yeah, Pinto, a good young arm, has worked his way up to double-A Bowie. So tough to see him go down. He probably won't pitch until, you know, late 2025, early 2026. But he's another guy who I know Orioles fans have been excited about. One of those guys who kind of flies under the radar in terms of rankings, but they've got a lot of guys, like I said, who could be contributors in the future.
Well, it stinks about Pinto because he's 22 years old and he just got to double A and now he's having Tommy John surgery. Now remember that John Means had Tommy John surgery in April of 2022. And was expected back by June or July of 2023, before he had the setback and didn't get back till September. So Pinto, you know, goes through everything. He's young. The body could bounce back quickly. He could be back by midseason next year. You know, if you look at Carter Baumler, he had Tommy John surgery. He was pitching by the middle of the he had it during the Arizona Fall League or on the what's it called? The Fall Development League that they had, the Complex League down in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He had it during that time span, and then he was back pitching by mid-season in 2020. I think that happened in 2021, and he was back pitching by 2022.
I think so.
Mid-season, or I'm sorry. Start over. He had it in the fall of 2020, and he was back pitching by mid-season in 2022. A lot of these guys, we see him bounce back. Seth Johnson back on the mound last year after having Tommy John surgery the year before. So Gene Pinto could make it back to an Orioles minor league rotation by mid-2025. We can still hold out hope for that. But getting back to this breakout game, some takeaways from that. The first one, and it's not even about the Orioles, is Paul Skeens. He's yet to be cut. Pirates have already made it known he's not going to make the opening day roster. And Ryan, I have to say, why the hell not? Like, why the hell? You're not going to win that division. Two teams aren't coming out of that division for the postseason. Why? Well, maybe they are. They had two teams last year. But why the hell not for Paul Skeens? What do you have to lose? You pair him up with Mitch Keller. Is it Mitch or Max Keller?
Mitch. Keller. Yeah.
Mitch Keller. You pair him up with Mitch Keller as that 1-2 punch. That guy can get big league hitters out right now. He was far and away better than everybody he faced in that breakout game. Just put the guy in your rotation. What do you have to lose?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a service time thing with the Pirates, but look, he's nasty. And you put in the notes, he's a dude, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they would have to lose. He can get, like you said, he can get major league hitters out right now. You know he's going to dominate in AAA if you send him down there. I think the best way for a guy like Skeens to learn and develop is to face big league pitching regularly, and I'm not sure why they're holding off on that. They must have a deep rotation for him to not break camp with the team, and I don't think they really do. So I can't really explain it, but you know, as soon as he makes it up to the bigs, he's going to be, you know, one of the best young pitchers in the game, without a doubt.
Well, and the other thing is there any doubt that guy can compete for Rookie of the Year this year,
no,
pitching for the Pirates? And, like, if he starts the year on the opening day roster and he's first or second in Rookie of the Year voting at the end of the year, you get a compensatory pick that's is considered like a first-round pick at the end of the first round. Why would you not do that? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I get it. You want to slow roll that guy. We saw Steven Strasburg got rushed to the majors. He was awesome, but his career was very short. He pitched, 10 years, and now he's had to retire because of what
he has irreparable nerve damage.
Yeah, thoracic outlet syndrome, and he has irreparable nerve damage, as you said. So I understand that, but that's a freak thing. That's not something because he got rushed to the majors.
Right.
And I know the Nationals found themselves in a situation in 2012 where they were limiting his innings and they didn't have him for the postseason because they had to shut him down. I get that. They didn't do that the right way. But the Pirates aren't in that boat because they're not going to make the playoffs this year. So just bring Paul Skeens up and let him do what he's going to do. He's going to be one of the most dominant young pitchers in the game almost from the jump. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I can't really comprehend it, but I mean, I guess they have their reasons. I don't know what those reasons are, but I mean, look, if it's a matter of limiting his innings, he's going to be throwing in AAA. I don't know, man. I don't get it.
I mean, and they can ease him in like they did with Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall here, where he throws three innings, and it's four, then it's five, and then towards the end of the year, he's throwing six. I get that, but he's going to spend a month down there, and then he's going to be up at the big league roster anyway. Like, yeah, might as well have him get those innings up here. Like, what are you even playing for?
Yeah.
You know, we think we're going to be – you're not going to be good. The Pirates aren't going to be good. They have some good young players. They do, but come on. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Cade Povich. You see why he's one of the Orioles' top pitching prospects. When I think of Cade Povich, even though one's a lefty and one's a righty, my mind immediately goes to Kyle Bradish. And it's because Kyle Bradish just didn't have those eye-popping numbers. Now, he had a better minor league career than Povich to this point. But nothing stood out about Bradish. You just thought, that dude could be something. And then he comes to the majors, his last 13 starts in 2022. He pitches to, a 3.13 ERA. Then all last year, 2.86 ERA, the lowest ERA for 30 starts since Mike Mussina in 1992 for the Orioles. He's now the Orioles' bona fide de facto ace, especially because Corbin Burnes is their ace right now, but Corbin Burnes is only here for a year as far as we know to this point. So your future ace is probably Kyle Bradish or Grayson Rodriguez. But when I think of Cade Povich, I think Kyle Prask, because I think they have a similar trajectory where figuring it out the minor leagues, get to the majors and be dominant.
I think that's the case as well. The big thing with Povich is he needs to figure out, you know, how to attack hitters in the strike zone. He walks far too many guys. Reminds me a little bit of DL Hall in that regard. But in terms of, you know, the way Povich looks at actually on the mound, it's hard to watch him pitch and not immediately think of Max Fried. They look very similar in their builds and their, you know, their stuff and their delivery and all that. So, you know, hopefully Povich has a bright future ahead of him. It's kind of tough to predict, you know, guys who really struggle with walks like that, like DL Hall, you know, he could end up in the bullpen. But look, he's shown, and it was really impressive in that game against the Pirates. You know, like you said, Paul, he loaded the bases with nobody out in the first inning and ended up going three innings and only gave up that one run on a sac fly in the first. So a gutsy performance by him for sure against a really good Pirates farm system. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I hope he can hone in the walks a little bit and you know, find some dominance that way.
Absolutely. And then finally, Enrique Bradfield, speed's crazy. The defense is elite. Does his speed and defense make him somebody we could see in Baltimore as early as later this season?
It's tough to project because of how many good outfielders are ahead of him on the depth chart already. We're already talking about six guys competing for, you know, four, maybe five spots. Throw in Ryan McKenna in there if he ends up making the roster.
He's gotten hot recently.
Yeah. Yep. So look, it's hard to tell what's going to happen there, but I think about Enrique Bradfield the same way, you know, I go back to 2014 and 2015 and the success that the Kansas City Royals had in the playoffs, as much as it pains me to say. And one of their, I guess, two of their X factors were the speed of Jerod Dyson and Terrence Gore coming off the bench in those playoff series. And I think Enrique Bradfield could fit that mold. I was kind of talking about Jorge Mateo in that regard in last year's playoffs. And I think Mateo could fit that role as he's kind of, you know, seems to be transitioning into a utility role for this team. I think the value of a guy like that who you can bring off the bench to really change the game on the base paths can be huge. And I think Bradfield could be one of those difference makers come playoff time. So I absolutely could see it. But I don't think they're going to be in any hurry to rush him, especially if guys like Kowser and Kerstad and Stowers, you know, are able to hit and, you know, hold their roster spots as the season goes on.
Yeah. And we're going to get into guys like Kowser and Stowers, later on in the show here. Want to remind you, today's show is brought to you by Superbook. New player prop markets are available now at Superbook. For example, Gunnar Henderson's hits total has been set at 142.5. I think that's low. And his home run total at 24. I know that's low. Meanwhile, Adley Rutschman's home run total is set at 19.5. Jackson Holliday's home run total at 10.5. Plus, Corbin Burns' win total is set at 11.5, all of which seem fairly reasonable overs to bet. Yes, they do. When you sign up at Superbook, remember, use the code PressBox23 and you'll receive a same-day first bet match up to $250, win or lose. And now it's time for Soft Toss with Ryan Blake. Oh, before that, people that are listening, people that are watching right now, please remember to interact with us. We have a segment towards the end of the show where we're going to read your chats and get you involved in the show. So please interact throughout the show with us if you would. Ryan, what you got for us today?
Yeah, I want to talk about some of these videos that the Orioles have put out. And this has become pretty commonplace among major sports where, you know, the social media team will ask these players, whether it's with a mini microphone or whatever, they'll ask them questions, and they're usually unrelated to baseball. And some that the Orioles have done are like, you know, which teammate has the best smile, which teammate's the worst golfer, you know, which teammate would you not want to be your roommate, things like that. And like I said, it's really common, but there seems to be something special about the responses we get from Orioles players, and how they all feel about each other. And with that in mind, I just want to say, I want to stress the importance of clubhouse culture. And we've seen it kind of have a ripple effect in terms of on-field performance, especially with this Orioles team. They love playing with each other and they love being with each other. You know, they live with each other down in Florida. And I know that's not uncommon, right? But, you know, these guys are living together. They're playing board games together. They've, you know, talked about playing Catan against each other and, you know, building Legos. And it's just, it's so much fun, man. And one thing that especially stands out to me is how much these guys love kind of busting Colton Cowser's balls a little bit. And if you don't think Cowser's relationship with the dudes on this team is helping his spring performance and will continue to help his performance going forward, then I don't know what to tell you. It's unequivocally a fact that these guys love the camaraderie that they have in the clubhouse. I think that's super important. I think it's going to help the Orioles win more games than they would if they were just going about their business. They genuinely love each other, and that's awesome to see. And I'll wrap it up with this. The Orioles put out a lineup earlier this week in which 8 of 9 guys were homegrown, drafted by the Orioles. And the lone exception to that was Anthony Santander, who was a Rule 5 pick, having not played above it was high A or double A with Cleveland. So that's really special. And what the Orioles are building here is it's truly exciting, not only because of the on-field talent, but because of the bond that they all have with each other. And I guess I'll finish by saying that I hope we can keep a lot of this core together. We've already had DL Hall and Joey Ortiz traded away, but I mean, look, these guys, they rub off on each other. They love playing together. They love being together, and that's going to bode well.
Yeah, and when you have the projections come out each year, right? So like the Orioles, they won 83 games in 2022, and then their projections, I think the highest one we saw was like 24.5 wins. This year, they're projected to get like 85.5 wins, and these projections are low, and we know they're low because people from the outside looking in, they just have to go by what they see with the numbers, right? And they say, oh, well, the Orioles don't – they have Corbin Burns and a bunch of guys who might be really good in the rotation. Their bullpen lost Felix Bautista, and they have a bunch of young players who are rookies or in their second year that are – you know, we don't know what their projections – that they're going to hit their projections, so we have to be modest with them. And they come up with these projections for the season. They don't take into account the unquantifiable. And the unquantifiable is that clubhouse culture, that camaraderie, that brotherhood that these guys feel together. And that's where Brandon Hyde is so important to this team. And Lord knows that I've given Brandon Hyde a lot of crap over the years, right? Especially in 2022 when I felt like he managed them out of the playoffs down the stretch. I felt like he overplayed his hand in that last month of the season, really the last third of the season. But I thought he did a phenomenal job last year. I barely had any complaints about him last year. And I think that you can't, like I said, quantify how much he has his finger on the pulse of his clubhouse and how much of a player's manager he is and how much those guys love playing for him day in and day out. And you look no further than him cussing out Alek Manoah on the mound, calling him a bitch. Was it Robbie Ray?
Robbie Ray,
It was Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
It was Robbie Ray. And that was in the middle of an Orioles, what was it? That was 2021 when they lost 110 games, right? And he's...
It was either that or the year before. I remember it was... There weren't a lot of... If there were any fans in the stands, there wouldn't have been in 2020, but I remember you could hear it pretty clearly. So it was
poorly attended game. We're in the midst of 110 loss season, and it was 2021. I do remember opening day, they only let 10,000 fans in. I still managed to get tickets somehow. But yeah, like you could hear him just yelling at him, like, throw the effing ball. You know, he's like, shut up. And then he's like, come out here. He's like, shut up. You know, like that's when you start to really, really respect him as a player's manager. And he's got that clubhouse playing for each other, playing for him. They all love each other. And that's why these projections, we know that they're low in Baltimore because you can't quantify that culture between everybody on that team. And it's just so vitally important to winning baseball games because end of the day, man, you play 162 games in 180 days. You're with each other basically from the beginning of February to the end of October. That is a long time to spend with the same people day in and day out. Even on your off days, you're traveling, you're playing golf together, you're doing this, you're doing that. And if you get along, it makes it that much better. So I think that that's huge. That's a great, I almost said sounding off. That's a great soft toss segment from you, Ryan. Kudos to you on that one.
Thank you, man. Yeah, you can't put a number on it, but it does help you win games. And what really stands out to me is that, you know, these guys are out there not to, you know, build up personal accolades. They're there to win and build each other up and support each other as a team. And when you're playing for each other, it's a lot easier to, you know, we've seen this team come from behind in many instances, games that we felt like were over, and then suddenly it was tied up in the seventh or eighth inning, and the Orioles would come back and win. They're playing for each other. They're not doing it for Rookie of the Year awards or MVP awards. They're doing it to make it to a World Series. And that's what's most exciting, because it does rub off and it does affect your winning percentage.
Absolutely.
When that's the case.
Absolutely. Soft Toss with Ryan Blake has been brought to you today by Ruth's Chris. Whether you're celebrating a special milestone, entertaining clients, or simply enjoying a night out, count on Ruth's Chris to deliver to you the finest steaks, the best service, and a level of hospitality that has made Ruth's Chris one of the most revered names in steak since 1965. Make your reservation now at rootschris.com. You know they got to be good. They employed your boy for a brief period. So moving on, I think I said that last week too. So you know it's true. I'm not making it up. Let's take a step or two outside of Baltimore here for a second, Ryan. Let's head to New York, where the Yankees – you know, everybody's talking about they got picked by a lot of people to win this division. Carlos Rodon has gotten absolutely shelled ever since putting on the pinstripes. Nestor Cortez was really good 2 years ago, was not great last year, end of the year hurt. Now Garrett Cole, last year's Cy Young Award winner. Well, let's before we even get to him, Aaron Judge has been out of the lineup for a while now with an abdominal strain. MRI shows nothing structural with it, so he expects to be ready by opening day. Giancarlo Stanton's not inning. Anthony Rizzo's coming off a year where he finished the season with post-concussion symptoms and really struggled. I think he not homer after July, something like that? Like, it was something crazy where he just stopped hitting to end the year.
Yeah, he just wasn't himself. I will say, though, to Rizzo's credit, he's having a ridiculously good spring. Yeah. He's hitting over 400, a few homers, OPS over 1,000. So maybe it's a matter of health with him.
It may be a matter of health with him, but you know that guy's going to be hitting 230 to 240 at the end of the year. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. He's going to hit a lot of home runs against the Orioles because he just always does for some reason. But the whole point is, this Yankees team is old, they're battered, they're bruised, and now you look at their reigning Cy Young Award winner in Garrett Cole. He's expected to miss a minimum of 1 to 2 months with an elbow issue after he was reportedly not recovering well between throwing sessions and his outings. Doctors believe, Ryan, that he can avoid Tommy John surgery with rest, rehab, and some conservative non-surgical treatment, and that's all according to CBS Sports. Ryan, with that in mind, how likely do you think it is now that we see one of Snell and Montgomery headed to New York? And now the Astros are reportedly to be heavily in on Blake Snell. How likely do you think it is that either Snell or Montgomery end up in New York?
It's so tough to predict, man. I feel like if it was going to happen, it would have happened already. And maybe that's a naive take, but I mean, you know, it's no coincidence that the day the news came out about Cole's injury, we were starting to see reports. Oh, the Yankees are talking to the White Sox again about Dylan Cease. And that, you know, ended up not materializing because of the asking price and the Yankees' unwillingness to include Spencer Jones or, you know, their top tier prospects that the White Sox wanted back in that deal. I don't know, man. I think it's a no brainer for them to go out and get one of those guys. I know they're already well above the luxury tax. I think they're going to be paying $40 or $50 million in luxury taxes this year. So maybe it's a financial matter. I don't expect the Yankees to cry poor. Lord knows they never have in the past. So it's really tough to predict. But if I'm the Yankees, I'm number one, I'm very nervous about Garrett Cole's availability for this year. It feels very risky to forego a surgical repair in favor of rest and rehab, which granted the Orioles are doing with Kyle Bradish, and that concerns me too. So it's tough to predict. We don't know if Cole is going to miss that 1 to 2 months or if he's going to miss the season or if he's going to end up needing surgery. It's really, really tough to tell. But if I'm New York, I'm absolutely, you know, kicking the tires on Snell and Montgomery, trying to get some additional help in there, because they just announced Nestor Cortez as their opening day starter. And that's not a good position for the Yankees to be in the 1 year in which they're going to have Juan Soto. They need to be going for it. And they're struggling to fill out that rotation.
You don't think that they could end up with signing him to a long-term extension in New York, Juan Soto?
I think it's possible, but I personally don't see it. I think Soto's a one and done. And I, honestly, as much as it pains me to say it, I think Corbin Burns is also a one and done.
Yeah, I
Baltimore.
Think he probably is too. He maybe, you know, one of the big moves that we see Rubenstein make is he signs Corbin Burns to an extension, especially if that guy goes out and has a Cy Young caliber year. I get he wants to test free agency, but I don't know how you just let him walk away. I don't know how you, I mean, if yeah. And especially if the Orioles make a World Series run, if they don't win it, but maybe they get to the ALCS or maybe they get to the World Series, but they lose, or, you know, Lord willing, they get to the World Series and they win. How do you just let that guy walk out the door? I know he's right. A Scott Boras client, and he's one of those guys who should get way more than what Snell or Montgomery are, you know, supposedly wanting to get. And I know that Snell has two Cy Young awards, one in each league, but he also barely ever goes six innings, and he certainly never goes more than six innings. Corbin Burns is a workhorse who's won a Cy Young. He's been top 10 in Cy Young 4 years in a row. And if he has a season like that again, I cannot fathom them just letting him go for nothing, you know,
Yeah, and Burns is going to give you, you know, a couple 7-8 inning starts a month at least. He's that kind of guy on the mound. I think it would bode well for the Orioles to, you know, talk to Corbin and say, look, we're going to let you test the free agent market because that's, you know, those are his wishes, and I think the Orioles should respect those wishes. But I think you also, you know, approach him and say, look, go out, test the market, see what kind of offers you get. We're going to do everything we can to beat your best offer out there to keep you here in Baltimore. I think that's the way they should go about it. I don't think he's going to be open to discussing an extension midseason because he's made it abundantly clear that he has always intended to test the free agent market at the end of the 2024 season. And, you know, that has not changed since he was traded over to Baltimore. So I think the Orioles could absolutely make a case to keep him around. I don't see it happening in regards to an extension, but I could absolutely see them signing him to a long-term deal this offseason, you know, kind of telling him, go out and test the market, we want to keep you.
Yeah, the Yankees, Nestor Cortes, their opening day starter, after barely pitching last year. When he did, he wasn't good. Rodon, he's in trouble. Garrett Cole, he's injured. You look at their rotation, it's like Marcus Stroman. Like, they've got Marcus Stroman right now, and then what else? And I don't – that doesn't mean that Nestor Cortes is going to be bad again. He's pitching injured last year, but – they're in trouble. I think they're in trouble. And the fact that Snell and Montgomery are still out there with less than 2 weeks before the season starts, it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. I can't believe that. And then what really blows my mind is Dylan Cease was traded to the San Diego Padres. The White Sox get right-handed pitcher Drew Thorpe, right-handed pitcher Jairo Iriarte, outfielder Samuel Zavala, and right-handed pitcher Steven Wilson. CBS Sports gives the White Sox a B for this deal, but Ryan, I'm not sure I agree. We know the thing stalled. The Orioles trying to acquire Cease at the deadline last year because they were asking for Jackson Holliday. We know they were asking for some of the Orioles' top five prospects this year. Orioles weren't willing to part with any of them. We're led to believe that Holliday was asked for. White Sox got one top 100 prospect, and that's Drew Thorpe, who's number 85 overall and the Padres' fifth-ranked prospect. Padres only had to give up their fifth, seventh, and eighth ranked prospects and a career shuttle rider in Steven Wilson, who's notched 21 career games in four big league seasons, all in relief. Ryan, you always say, and you've said it on this show, that prospects are valued differently by every team, but even this return has to shock you.
Yeah, there's something to like in the return. You know, I think Drew Thorpe has a lot of potential. Samuel Zavala is a decent outfield prospect. Iriarte, you know, doesn't move the needle a ton for me. But, yeah, I think at this point, you know, obviously the White Sox have been engaged in Dylan Cease trade talks for quite some time now. I just think that if this is the return you were going to end up getting, you should have done one of two things. You should have, A, traded him far earlier. You probably would have gotten a little more instead of this close to the season. And if you're going to wait until this close to the season and not get the return that you were hoping for, then wait and try again at the deadline this year. There's going to be more demand for a pitcher like Dylan Cease, you know, assuming he pitches, you know, somewhere in between what he's done in the last 2 years. If he's somewhere in the middle there, 3-something ERA, then yeah, there's going to be a ton of value for a guy like that at the trade deadline. And I think you get a much better return in July than you would in March. So yeah, I was a little shocked to see it. But with that in mind, I'm glad he was traded to the Padres and not the Yankees.
That's absolutely. And for me, it just goes to show that maybe the White Sox, I mean, three of the four guys that they got were pitchers. So they were probably looking for some young pitching in the Orioles. As much as we like Chase McDermott and Seth Johnson and Cade Povich and Jordan Armbruster, they're not probably what other teams are looking for a top prospect or a top pitcher. And certainly the Orioles, if that's all they have in their cupboard as far as pitching, they probably aren't that willing to part with one of those guys. I understand the Orioles not willing to being willing to do it. I also understand that you know, Dylan Cease has really only had one good year and sandwiched between two pretty mediocre years, although he struck out over 200 each of the last three seasons, just like Corbin Burns. To me, the return was not that great for the White Sox, but their prospects, it remains to be seen. I mean, you look at a guy like Nolan Jones, who I really wanted the Orioles to trade Manny Machado to Cleveland back in 2018 and acquire Nolan Jones in that trade. I believed in that guy for so long. Last year, he goes out, he hits, what, like 300? He hits over 20 home runs, an OPS north of 900. That guy was, I believe he was a silver slugger last year. That guy, you know, people weren't talking about him out, and all of a sudden he just, you know, at what, age 25, he realizes his potential. It could be one of these guys. Maybe it's a Drew Thorpe has a resurrection like that, like a Nolan Jones did for the Colorado Rockies this year. So you never really know what these guys are going to become. It's hard to quantify it this early on. I would have expected a way bigger return. If I was a betting man, I were betting on it, I would have lost that bet. If you're a betting man or woman, and you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit helpmygamblingproblem.org for free confidential services. If you were betting on which team was going to pick up Dylan Cease, you should probably call that number. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit helpmygamblingproblem.org for free confidential services. Now, I forgot to take this out of the notes. That's last week's notes. Sorry. I do want to move on to some prospects who are having some big springs for the Orioles. And I know we talk about this every week, but it's something that we definitely need to talk about here because we're getting closer to the season, Ryan. And the Orioles have some tough decisions coming down the pike here. I mean, first and foremost, Colton Kowser, man. He went 0-for-3 yesterday and is still batting .379 with a .1307 OPS. He's got four home runs, nine RBIs. Kyle Stowers averages leaves a little bit to be desired, .258 with a .926 OPS, four home runs, nine RBIs. Kobe Mayo, .303, .970 OPS, a home run, five doubles, 10 RBIs. And then Jackson Holliday, .297, .857 with a home run and five RBIs. All these guys are making a case to run down that orange carpet on opening day here in about 12 days. Of those four, who do you think is making that jog down that carpet?
I saw a tweet on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. Among all hitters in baseball who had at least 25 spring plate appearances, there was one with a slugging percentage over 1,000, and that was Colton Kowser. I think Kowser, at this point, is as close to a lock, among these four at least, is as close to a lock to make the team as anybody. And it feels weird to say that over guys like Kobe Mayo and Jackson Holliday, who are, you know, absolutely crushing the ball this spring. Look, Holliday hit that grand slam off of Yusei Kikuchi on a high 0-2 fastball. He watched it. He pimped it a little bit. It was a great swing on a good pitch by a good pitcher who had an ERA below 4 in the majors last year. Look, we've been talking about it, and I don't know how you can keep Jackson Holliday off your roster. He's just too good, and I'm starting to feel that way about Kobe Mayo as well. He's settled down a little bit since a really hot start, but he's still hitting the ball very well. And look, we've talked about it at length. The problem is there are too many guys on the roster already, and you've got your three starting outfielders in Mullins, Hayes, and Santander, more than likely. You've got you know, Kowser playing for that fourth outfield spot, maybe a starting role, maybe a platoon with Austin Hayes. It's tough to tell, but Kowser's been hitting lefties as well in the spring. So it's tough to say that. Kyle Stowers has four homers. I think three of them are off of lefties. It's so tough to tell, man, because all these guys have made a really, really strong case for themselves. And on just about any other roster, they'd be a shoe-in for a 26-man spot. And on the Orioles, that's just not the case because of guys like Ramon Urias, Jorge Mateo, Anthony Santander, Austin Hayes, all still being on the roster. So I don't know what's going to happen. I wish it was easier to clarify at this point in the spring with less than 2 weeks to go to opening day, but I really don't know, man.
And then you look at, you just mentioned them, Ramon Urias and Jorge Mateo. Urias is hitting .280 with a 1,007 OPS, three home runs, seven RBIs this spring. Jorge Mateo is hitting .296 with a .943 OPS, two home runs, five RBIs this spring. Both of those guys can play, and Jorge Mateo is playing second base today, by the way. Both of those guys can play they can play all three infield positions. Mateo can play the outfield. Mateo's fast. Ramon Urias hasn't made an error at second base in like ever, and it won a gold glove at third base 2 years ago. And he's showing pop this spring. I mean, three home runs this spring with seven RBIs. He's showing more power than he's ever shown at the big league level. These guys are making a case to be on the Orioles opening day roster. And that's before we even talk about Connor Norby, who was hitting .500 going into yesterday's game. It's an embarrassment of riches for this team. Jackson Holliday is going to be better than all of them. Kobe Mayo is going to hit in the middle of your order, perhaps as early as June this year. And Colton Kowser could be your future number three hitter, and he can play all three outfield positions. I just don't see I have no clue, Ryan, what the Orioles are going to do. And Brian McKenna doubled and homered in the game the other day. He drove in a run. He had the other day with a sac fly and an infield single the other day. That bat's heating up. He can play all three outfield spots. I don't like his defense. You know, he gets the baseballs, but the fact that he catches a ball next to his ear instead of over his head will always piss me off. And again, there's nothing against Ryan McKenna personally. I think that of like the 20 outfielders that the Orioles have that they could potentially be on their roster, he's like number 20 in my mind. I don't understand what the Orioles are going to do about this roster crunch. And believe me, it's a roster crunch.
You've got to find a trade for Urias at this point, right? I mean, look, he's hitting well in the spring. Mateo's hitting well in the spring. And those are two guys who we were talking about as fringe roster guys and maybe, you know, missing out or losing out to a guy like Holliday or Mayo. So it's really hard to tell at this point, man. But, something's got to be done. It's too strong of a roster crunch. And again, it's an old adage and it's a massive cliche, but it's a really good problem for the Orioles to have. I just hope it doesn't lead to a world where, you know, three of the four prospects we just talked about in Kowser, Stowers, Mayo, and Holliday, if three out of four of them are starting the season at AAA, then that's a tough,
absolutely,
tough spot for the
Orioles.
You just
mentioned my favorite condiment, Holliday Mayo. Yeah, I know that. I don't care what you say, Ryan. It was gold.
It was. I'm not a Mayo guy. I'm a Kobe Mayo guy.
I'm a Mayo guy. I use it less and less because it's not exactly good for you. But I am a Mayo guy. You can thank the Golden Arches chicken sandwich from when I was a kid that really got me into mayo. Oh my god, it was so good. But I digress. If you really want great chicken, head over to Rofo, because Rofo chicken is cheaper by the dozen. Right now, get a 12-piece mix for just $20. Plus, you can get two hot, good-to-go sandwiches for just $6, and a family order of Western fries is just $5. So stop by your neighborhood Royal Farms today for these and other great offers. Ryan, I agree with you, man. There's got to be a trade in the works that's including Ramon Urias, potentially Connor Norby, maybe an outfielder, because you have too many good guys, too few positions. I still think that the Orioles need another starting pitcher. They need another starting pitcher. And I hate to agree with this guy. You know who I'm talking about. I won't mention his name because he does follow me on Twitter, and I'm not trying to start a fight with anybody. But you know who I'm talking about. He's a three-letter name. A three-letter guy on the sports station here in the afternoons. And he was talking yesterday. He's like, am I the only one who thinks that this Orioles rotation needs another starter, that you're banking on all these guys not getting hurt? Somebody else is going to get hurt. And I do agree with him that somebody else is going to get hurt. We are an injury away from Julio Teheran starting for the Orioles, or Albert Suarez starting for the Orioles. And as good as they both have been, although Suarez got lit up the other day, as good as they both have been, you can't bank on them to be good in the regular season in your starting rotation. And you can't bank on getting back Kyle Bradish at 100% and John Means staying healthy all year. I think you need another starter. You have the players that you don't have a spot for on your team that you can trade to get another starter, or you can go out and sign a Michael Lorenzen. He wants 2 years. So what? Give him 2 years. John Means is a free agent after this year. Corbin Burns is a free agent after this year. Go and get somebody like a Michael Lorenzen or a Jordan Montgomery, or trade for a Jesus Luzardo. We talk about it, Ryan, every week, and there's a reason for it. The Orioles rotation, I like it, but I'm not confident that they're going to stay healthy and that everybody's going to be phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I liked it a lot more when we thought it was going to be, you know, Burns, Bradish, Rodriguez, Kramer, Means, yeah, and Dean Kramer, or Tyler Wilson. Tyler Wilson, goodness, there's a name I didn't expect to think about today. Shout out Tyler Wilson, man. Really good dude. I hope he's doing well. Look, we like the rotation a lot better when that was the case. And, you know, now it feels like, you know, we're kind of thrust into a tough situation here with injuries. So, yeah, I absolutely agree. You can never have you can have an overabundance of infielders and outfielders. You can never have an overabundance of pitching. And so I think a trade absolutely should be in the works there, or a free agent signing. But it'd be nice to have a little bit of insurance for that rotation, because, you know, pitchers get hurt all the time.
You've got a golden opportunity to go out and win your division again and make a serious run at a World Series. Your roster, they lead all spring training in wins. They lead all spring training in runs scored. They have a bunch of guys who are having monster springs for them. Go out and get that one final piece for that rotation. I'm not going to sit here and say that I think a trade is coming. In my heart of hearts, I feel like it has to, right? But last year, I thought that one of Mateo and Arias were getting traded anyway, and that Joey Ortiz had a great opportunity to start a shortstop for the Orioles, and then he got hurt. So I have to believe a trade is coming, but I'm not going to guarantee it like I did last year. But something's got to give here. Something's absolutely got to give.
And there's also a ripple effect with the bullpen, right? Because, you know, that starting five that I mentioned that we were so excited to come into camp with after the Corbin Burns acquisition, you had Tyler Wells and Cole Irvin in your bullpen, and now you don't because they're going to be in your rotation. So there is a massive ripple effect there. Every time someone gets hurt and you have to pull one of your bullpen long men into the rotation, you're going to be missing out on some, you know, another one of your strengths, which I think was the bullpen. So Look, something's got to give.
Hopefully it does. We'll see. But you mentioned Corbin Burns. Today's game, the Orioles are welcoming the Red Sox into Ed Smith Stadium as Corbin Burns takes on Cooper Criswell. Burns, Ryan, has a 12.71 ERA this spring, and he's coming off a game where he was working a lot on his cutter, giving up 5 earned runs on 6 hits, including 2 home runs in just 3 innings pitched. We know Corbin Burns is the Orioles' opening day starter, and today he's going to face a Red Sox lineup that features only 2 potential regulars, and Tristan Casas and Bobby Dalbec. Ryan, I'd like to see him go out today and dominate in what is likely his penultimate spring start. Your thoughts on Corbin Burns going against the Red Sox today?
Yeah, I agree completely. We've talked before about, especially with guys like Corbin Burns, reading the box score in spring training is not going to do you any good, because it doesn't really matter to the pitcher nor to the team. We're getting to that point in the spring where the results are going to start to matter, especially with the pitchers. And I think Burns needs to go out today and show that he is the ace of this Orioles team. Not that I have any doubts about that, but you know, you want to see that spring ERA come down a little bit at this point, you know, halfway through March already. So I'd like to see him go out, give us, you know, 5 really good innings, and, you know, show us that he's, you know, done working on, you know, small tweaks and is ready to attack.
And honestly, I think he will. I think you're going to see him go 5 innings. I don't think you're going to see him working on stuff. I think you're going to see him trying to dominate today, because he knows. I mean, realistically, Their last spring game is next Sunday. They are 12 days away from opening day. So he's going to start today, and he's probably going to start on Thursday, and then he's not going to pitch again until opening day. He'll get a side session. He'll throw a bullpen in between. But Thursday is going to be his last start. I think these last two starts, he wants to go out and be Corbin Burns, and I think he's going to. I think that that's going to start today with a dominant performance against a less than representative Red Sox lineup. And speaking of lineups, the Orioles lineup is out. Batting first, playing center field in his return to action, Cedric Mullins is back in the Orioles lineup today. Batting second at catcher, Adley Rutschman. Batting third at shortstop, Gunnar Henderson. And now this is where some of the now we're going to start to see some of the weird things in this lineup today. Batting fourth at first base, Anthony Santander. Batting fifth at third base, Ramona Rios. Batting sixth at second base, Jorge Mateo. Batting seventh in right field, Kyle Stowers. Batting eighth in left field, Tyler Nevin. And then batting ninth at DH, Kobe Mayo. Can have a hell of a lot worse nine hitters than Kobe Mayo at DH. Tyler Nevin is another guy who we're not talking about this spring. He's got 37 spring at-bats, 351, a home run, three RBIs, and 844 OPS. He's not going to make this roster. He doesn't have any options. So they're going to have to DFA him. But he's had a really good spring. Almost any other year, you could justify him being on the Orioles opening day roster.
Yeah, the Orioles reacquired Tyler Nevin, and it was like, this feels like a very 2020, 2021 Orioles move. They just don't have space for a guy like him on this team. You know, they're playing him in left field today. I don't think he looks particularly good in the outfield, so I don't think there's anything to read into there. But yeah, it's just another guy who has shown that he deserves a big league roster spot somewhere, but it's unfortunately not going to be here.
By the way, while we're talking about the outfield, we're talking about all the outfielders that the Orioles have. There is no godly, earthly reason that we should ever see Tyler Nevin or Ryan O'Hearn playing in the outfield in the regular season. I'd accept Norby or Westberg because those guys are athletes. Not that Nevin and O'Hearn aren't athletes, but those guys you know can play the outfield. O'Hearn, Nevin, if they play the outfield in the regular season, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong for this team.
Agreed.
I want to remind 100%. You today's show is brought to you by Sports and Social. Join Glenn Clark and Griffin Bass this Friday at noon for the start of the annual college basketball tournament, whose name we're not allowed to say officially in a commercial. The GCR crew will be at Sports and Social Inside Live Casino and Hotel watching and helping you bet on the games. Plus, they'll have great giveaways, including live swag, baseball tickets, gift cards, and more. There's no better place to watch the games just steps away from the FanDuel Sportsbook. So hang out with Glenn and Griffin at noon this Thursday. I'm going to have to get clarification because it said this Friday at noon, and at the end it says this Thursday. Missing this would be madness. Wink, wink. It's either Thursday or Friday. I'll check in with them, but I think I'm actually going to try and take a realtor down there with me just to hit that up. I think it would be a lot of fun. So, I'll have to look into that so I know the exact date for sure. But head on down to Sports and Social either Friday or Thursday at noon. I hope I can get clarification before the end of today's show. And now one of my favorite segments on the show, we get to interact with our viewers and our listeners. We're going to get the first comment going. Thanks for giving us comments, guys. I was so nervous. I was going to be like, hey, we're doing this. And then nobody was going to comment. From Randall Fricasse, yeah. Oh, should still trade for Seattle's Gilbert, Cleveland's Williams, Miami's Perez, or Luzardo. Randall, we were just talking about that. There's so many guys on this team that don't have a spot and that don't belong in AAA, that don't have options left, that you could trade to pick up somebody who's really, really good. And I have to believe that's going to happen. But there's nothing to say that it's going to right now. But we are on the same page here, my man. It's a no-brainer at this point. You need some starting pitching. Go get it. Ryan?
Look, I'm on board with Luzardo. I've been on board with Luzardo for a while. Randall, you've mentioned these guys before, and I sort of agree on Gilbert. I think it's a possibility that the Mariners would be willing to trade him in the right deal. Asking for Gavin Williams from Cleveland or Yuri Perez from Miami is like, you know, the Padres saying, we need a starting pitcher. Let's go call the Orioles about Grayson Rodriguez. Yeah. It's not going to happen. They're young, controllable, really, really good starting pitchers. They'd be great to have on the Orioles. I would love it. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think, you know, there's any possibility that the Orioles are able to match up on a deal for Williams or Perez. But I'm absolutely on board, like I said, with Luzardo. And if Seattle's willing to give up Gilbert, then sure. But I think that would take a pretty big prospect.
I think it's something that definitely has to be explored. And I know that it's that Cleveland's closer is Clase, but seeing Williams reminded me that Devin Williams for the Milwaukee Brewers is having shoulder issues, I think it is. And he's going to miss 3 months. He won't pitch till I think July at the earliest this year for the Brewers. So a huge, they already lost their ace in the trade with the Orioles, and now they're losing their all-star Cy Young caliber closer in Devin Williams. That's a huge blow to the Milwaukee Brewers. All right. Yeah. Adit Mahmood, personality wise, is Kowser or Grayson the Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens? Hopefully they have better food takes than him. That's a good one, Ryan. I'm going to let you take this one, man, because like Marlon Humphrey, I love the guy, but he is so out there. And I don't know that either of these guys are out there like that.
Marlon he's a social media troll. Mm-hmm. I feel like take away Marlon's Twitter, please. I love the guy, but like, yeah, I think that's a really a good and a fun comparison. I think, you know, you see it in these social media interviews. I think Kowser certainly fits that mold. Grayson's fun. They had one. They were trying to get the players to say who by going up to them and saying, they said, you sound like an owl. And Grayson took it seriously. He was like, oh, yeah, I do. I can make an owl sound. Do you want to hear it? And he's like, ooh, 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 ooh. He's like, nailed it. That was perfect. Yeah, look, it's a lot of fun personalities on this team. You got Gunner, who I think carries one of those little hands in his back pocket to hold the tiny mic for those interactions. There's a lot of guys on this team who have that kind of personality. But yeah, the food takes, I agree. I mean, Marlon tweeting about how, you know, thinks mac and cheese is overrated. Like, come on, man.
No, hey, that
get off the phone. Go play golf or something.
I agree with him.
Paul.
I hate mac and cheese. I hate
you hate it.
The only mac and cheese that I like, and I'm not just saying this, my wife at Laura of the Valley on Twitter, she used to be formerly at Laura Trags. My wife makes the best mac and cheese I've ever had. She uses Velveeta, Old Bay, and bacon, and it is delicious. Every other mac and cheese can go kick rocks. Get the hell out of my face. I that is the one food take that Marlon has that I agree with wholeheartedly. I am not a mac and cheese guy. It is.
Can we move on to the next comment?
Are we 6 years old? like, come on. Like it's mac and cheese. Like, dude, come on. It's for 6 year olds, man. Like, come on. There's so much better stuff that you can eat than mac and cheese.
I'll let you all have right, your opinion.
All right. Decide.
You're the Marlon Humphrey. You're the Marlon Humphrey of this podcast. I'll tell you that.
Former All Pro. from Randall Fricasse. Oh, should have re-signed Hicks. Expecting Mateo to cover for Mullins is ridiculous. Why Mateo, Arias, and McKenna are still in the 40-man is beyond me. They should have been traded for prospects. I want no parts of Aaron Hicks. I want no parts of him. Like, I think he played well for the Orioles offensively. I watched that guy jog after too many baseballs too many times last year. Just lollygagging. You lollygag in the infield. You lollygag in the outfield. You know what that makes you? Lollygaggers. Like, to me, like, and you could have argued that because he had the hamstring injury last year that maybe he was, you know, kind of taking it easy in the outfield because he wanted to be sorry, your cats just started like fighting in the background. He wanted to take it easy on himself to be available. But then in the same game where I watched him jog after a pop fly that got dropped by a guy running with his back to the infield and Adam Frazier, if Hicks had run after that ball in Cleveland as hard as he would have caught the ball. I watched him lollygag on that. And then I watched him run as hard as he could to beat out an infield single in his next at bat in the top half of the next inning. So for me, Aaron Hicks being on this roster, I am so glad that he's not here because I don't want guys that don't go all out. I think Mateo is an athlete. I think that he's going to be a good outfielder. You know, he made that one leaping catch to rob a home run last year, and then in the same game had one bounce off his glove for like a go-ahead triple or something along those lines. I think he's an athlete who can play in the outfield formidably. But I also say that the Orioles have so many outfielders that there's no need for Hicks, and I think that ultimately that's why he wasn't re-signed here. Ryan?
Yeah, you add Hicks into the mix here, and then what? Kyle Stowers is your seventh outfielder. I'm on board with that as well. I don't want any part of Aaron Hicks. I agree with the you know, a lot of these guys should be traded for prospects or should have been. And I agree with Arias and McKenna. I don't think they should be on the 40 anymore. Arias is a tough guy to DFA. McKenna not as much for me, but. I think that, you know, you combine Mateo's speed and defensive versatility. I think he's a good guy to have as your 25th or 26th guy in the pecking order. Look, Hicks came over last year and did exactly what we needed him to do in the absence of Cedric Mullins. He came over and he hit very well for the first few weeks and then kind of came back to earth a little bit. But he was able to bridge the gap between Mullins' injuries or between the health of Cedric Mullins, I should say. So look, I'm glad we got him last year. I don't want any part of this
either. For Kase, man, coming at us with all the chats today. I'd use Santander, Norby, Povich, and go after Gilbert, Williams, Perez, or Lizardo. I think that could get it done, but then you're giving up one of your top pitching prospects, and you're giving up Anthony Santander, and maybe Santander walks at the end of this year, but he's one of the most powerful switch hitting players in the game right now. He is one of the pieces of glue in that clubhouse. Everybody loves Anthony Santander. I don't think that they're going to trade him. Now, I think that you could find other ways to make that trade. We got to get moving, so we aren't going to spend too much time on this one. Randall also said he thinks Holiday and Cows are going to make the roster. I think so, too. He said Holiday is too good, and the O's will not give up a free draft pick. I agree with that, because that draft pick turned into Corbin Burns this year because of Gunnar Henderson last year. So I agree. Don C, first time commenting on the show. What's up, guys? Enjoying the live stream. How about these O's? Can't wait for the season. While we were talking about the rotation, Ryan, I was thinking about watching Cole Irvin pitch on an afternoon. I don't know why Cole Irvin came to mind. I think because he pitched in the afternoon against the Athletics and got shelled and then got demoted after that. But just thinking about watching the Orioles and the anticipation of what are we going to get from Cole Irvin, maybe seeing him pitch in an afternoon game, it just like sent like good chills down my spine thinking about watching Orioles baseball 12 days from now and having the next 180 days just be nothing but baseball. I am so fired up for this year. And I think this team, the personalities on this team, the players on this team, the talent on this team, this is probably the most excited I have ever been for an Orioles season. And I've seen a lot of good teams with, like, it's crazy because they haven't made the playoffs a lot and they haven't had a lot of good winning teams in my lifetime. But when they have, those teams have been like so exciting. Like you look at the late 90s Orioles teams, you look at the 2014, 2015, 2016 Orioles, you know, because 2012, you weren't really expecting much. 2013, they kind of laid an egg. But then 2014, they go out and they win the division for the first time in 17 years. I am so excited for this team more than I've ever been any other team, because I think that like this is just the beginning, Ryan.
I agree. Look, we've got one show left before the regular season.
Next Sunday. Next Sunday, show is going to be on Sunday because I've got a work event on Saturday. And we also want to be able to see, make sure that nothing happens between Friday and Saturday that we're going to miss and not be able to talk about.
Yeah. Look, I think about my dad and how much he loves to talk about those teams. And he was, yeah, he likes to talk about the 69, 70, and 71 Orioles, where they won. I don't remember the order, but I think it was 108, 101, and 109, respectively, in those three seasons. One of the best three-year stretches. They made it to three consecutive World Series. Granted, they only came away with one win out of those three World Series, but I can't help but feel like we're right at the beginning of a kind of stretch run like that with this Orioles team. I think, you know, we've been talking ever since the Elias regime came over here and, you know, talking about how we're not trying to win this year, and when I say this year, I mean, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, we're trying to build something sustainable that's going to carry us for, you know, a decade at least, and start what we hope will be a dynasty with this Orioles team. And the excitement surrounding these guys and how young they are and how many years of control we have on these guys, it's just so exciting to think about what's to come. And we haven't made it to the promised land yet, but I really think it's coming soon. I think it could come as early as this year. And like I've said it before and I'll say it again, I am going to cry my eyes out when this team wins a World Series. And I want that feeling so bad. Every time I win a World Series with this team on MLB The Show, or every time I see another team celebrate a World Series win in real life, it's just, man, I'm aching for that feeling. And I can't help but feel like we are right on the
edge. I thought we were going to get that feeling with the Ravens again this year. And then the disappointment in that AFC championship game, it like, it broke my heart. The Orioles, man, like I've never seen it. The Orioles were my first love, my first passion. And to see them win a World Series, I might be able to like, I don't know how my body's going to react. I might seize up. I might not be able to take it, but they're going to need to add another starting pitcher. I think that this team, 105, 108, 109 wins is not out of the realm of possibility for this team. If they get one more legitimate starting pitcher, Vaughn JB said Arias, Norby, Stowers, and Fabian for Lizardo. I wouldn't say no to that. I wouldn't say no to that trade. I think that you can 100% make that move. God, and when you throw Stowers and Norby in there, I think that you might not even need to get rid of Judd Fabian. I think that that is something like it makes me think that there's not spots for any of those guys. Something's got to give. Something's got to happen. We got to give. We got to roll. Don C coming in hot. Hit that like and share and subscribe, everyone. Yes, doing the most, Don C. Thank you. Don C also saying, I know we are riding high and drinking the orange Kool-Aid, but I'm starting to get a Ravens vibe from the O's front office. I think I'm starting to have 100% trust in this O's front office. With the new ownership, I think the new ownership is going to take off any handcuffs. I think they're going to say, go do what it takes to win some championships. And I think that starts maybe as early as opening day. I agree with you, Don. I think it's a new age, a new day, a new dawn for the Baltimore Orioles, and I'm totally here for it. Don C following up with great stream, guys. Hit that like. It's free, everyone. It is free, everyone. We need you to like and share and stream. Got like and share and stream. Like and share our stream because, you know, we do this every week and we love it.
Helps exposure, yeah.
Yeah. Randall Fricasse, I'm so sick of Mateo. He does great in spring training in first month and then the floor falls out. Well, that happened last year, but the year before he sucked until July, and then he had like a month-long stretch where he hit over 300. So, but he usually has one good month in him if what we've seen the last few years holds true. So,
I'm very much like, look, if we were having this conversation last September, October, I agree 1,000%. I think when Mateo's in a bench role instead of being a regular starter, I think he thrives more. You can bring him off the bench for speed, defense, whatever it may be.
Although he breaks against kind of left-handed pitching.
Yeah. So look, there is a roster spot for that guy, but I don't want him. He shouldn't be starting more than
twice a week,
30 games for this team.
Yeah.
35, 40 games.
You can justify him starting twice a week, one day in the infield, one day in the outfield. But he could play 120 games just being a pinch runner. And a defensive replacement or something. Maybe you shift Gunner over to third base and you put Jorge in at shortstop, or something of the sort. But you can justify him playing a ton of games, but mostly in that late inning replacement role as a pinch runner or a defensive replacement. One thing that dude's got to learn how to do is bunt.
Yeah,
he is one of the worst bunters I have ever seen in my life, and he's got to learn how to bunt if we're going to utilize that speed. Don C agrees with you. He's going to cry too. He said, "You and me both, brother." With you, Ryan, he's going to cry when the Orioles win a World Series. And then finally, God, you guys came in hot today. I love it. Great show, guys. O's win 103 in the division. Depth is so deep. That's the definition of depth. It's deep. It's deep. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. Remember, today's show is brought to you by Atman's. And if you're craving that classic New York deli experience, look no further than the new Atman's Deli in Baltimore's Harbor Point. Corned beef, piled high, hand-rolled bagels, and something different, a a bar at Mint's Harbor Point. Go to atmintsdeli.com for daily specials. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Without you, we don't have a show. Thank you to all of our listeners, all of our viewers, everybody that interacted. That was awesome, guys. Keep those comments coming every week. We need it. We love it. We thrive on it. Can't wait to talk more Orioles baseball with you next week. Next week will be under a week until opening day. And remember, next week's show is Sunday morning, April 24th. March 24th. Sunday. You pay for the whole seat. You'll only need the edge. No, Sunday, 10 a.m., March 24th, our final show before opening day. Can't wait to see you then. Until then, see you.